What's going on, everybody? This is your host, Tyler Brown, and welcome back to the Sports Guru Podcast, where we talk about, you know, sports around the season. As of right now, we're talking about the NFL, and we have a lot to talk about this week as we cap off another great week of the NFL in week three, which there's so much going on that I'm going to talk about and cover and discuss my opinions and what's going to happen moving forward. But let's not waste any time. Let's get right into the action. So week three, we started off with Thursday night. We had the Cleveland Browns and the Pittsburgh Steelers. Going into this game, I knew it wasn't going to be, I didn't think it was going to be really a high scoring game. But I had more faith in the Browns just because I thought their team was better. And I felt as if Jacoby Brissett, one, is a better quarterback than Mitchell Trubisky, and he's going to make more plays than Trubisky to win this game. As the Browns beat the Steelers 29-17, Brissett had 220 passing yards, two TDs. Chubb had 113 rushing yards and a TD. Amari Cooper had a big day with 101 receiving yards and a TD, and Njoku had a good receiving day as well with 89 receiving yards and TD. Trubisky threw for 207 yards. Najee Harris rushed for 56 yards and a TD. And Deontay Johnson had 84 receiving yards. So looking at this game, I felt like Mitchell Trubisky's job is on the line. I felt as if he didn't pull this game out and didn't win, I feel like it's time to start Kenny Pickett. So, Steelers O-line isn't that great. Their offense isn't really that great. They don't really push the ball down the field. And I just knew they wasn't going to win this game. They're not as good as people think they're going to be this year, to be honest. So, that being said, I think it's time that, you know, give Kenny Pickett a shot to see what he can do. Because, honestly, Trubisky isn't it. Can't really trust Trubisky, and he can only take you so far. Like, the defense is okay. You know, as you know, they still missing T.J. Watt. It's going to be out for the next few weeks. But, Trubisky leashes up. It's time to put the rookie in and see what he can do. But give credit to the Cleveland Browns. Brissett was making some good throws and to his receivers. And, like I see, Amari Cooper and the Joker had a good day, as the Cleveland Browns are now 2-1. Steelers are now 1-2. Even though the Browns should be undefeated, but you know, they did choke to the Jets last week, but they bounced back and they won this week, so we're gonna move on. Colts beat the Chiefs 20-17. Matt Ryan threw for 222 passing yards, two TDs. Jonathan Taylor rushed for 71 yards. Pittman had 72 receiving yards, and Jelani Woods had only 13 receiving yards and two TDs. Mahomes threw for 262 yards, a TD, and a pick. Juju had 89 receiving yards. Kelce had 58 receiving yards and one TD. This game surprised me because I didn't think the Colts really looked that good. They haven't looked that good in the first 2 weeks. So I'm thinking, you know, Chiefs going to go in Indianapolis and, you know, dominate the Colts. But the Colts had something to say about that. You know, the Colts that were hanging in there, they stuck around, and then Mahomes threw a bad pass, which ended up getting picked, which set up the game with a touchdown and drive for the Colts with Jelani Woods. They scored two TDs, one for the game winner. So for the Colts, this was a good win as they beat a quality opponent, and I just feel like for the Chiefs, this is a bad loss. But, you know, this gives the Colts their first win of the year and the Chiefs their first loss. And as you saw the clip by now, the offensive coordinator, Eric Bellamy, was arguing with Pat Mahomes. You know, stuff like that happens. But, like I said, the Colts surprised me. I didn't really expect them to beat the Chiefs. But, you know, this probably could give them some confidence going forward. As for the Chiefs, I think they'll bounce back, you know. Had a rough week, could have made some better decisions and stuff like that, but they'll bounce back, and they're still one of the better teams in the AFC. So, that being said, We're going to move on to the Dolphins and Bills game. Now, this game, Tua, Josh Allen, I knew this was going to be a great game. Probably go back and forth, maybe high score, maybe a shootout. The Dolphins beat the Bills 21-19, Tua threw for 186 yards and TD. Edmonds ran for 21 yards and scored 2 touchdowns on the ground, and Waddle had 102 receiving yards. Josh Allen threw for 400 yards, 2 TDs, Singletary rushed for 78 yards on the TD. McKenzie had 76 receiving yards on the TD, and Diggs had 74 receiving yards. Now, when you look at the stats at this game, the total stats of this game, this is what's going to blow your mind. Because the Bills outplayed the Dolphins in every category, or dominated in every category, and lost this game and put up 19 points. Let me read you these stats. The Bills had a total of 497 yards offense to Miami 212. Third down conversions, 11 to 18 for the Bills, 3 for 8 for the Dolphins. Plays, the Bills ran 90 plays. Dolphins ran 39. Time of possession, the Bills had 40 minutes of time possession to the Dolphins 19. Now, you would think with those stats, the Bills put up 40 points and the Dolphins get blown out the water. You're telling me 500 yards total offense, 11 third down conversions, 90 plays, 40 minutes time possession, and you only put up 19 points? The Dolphins should have, honestly, the Dolphins should really gotten blown out by the Bills. But credit to the Dolphins, they made plays when needed to. You know, the defense stepped up big when they needed to and stopped Josh Allen in the red zone and contained the high power offense. So I give credit to them. The Dolphins had 2 tough wins the past 2 weeks when beating one, if not the best team in the AFC, the Bills, and then having a crazy comeback against the Ravens last week. So give credit to them as they're now 3-0 and first place in their division. The Bills fall to 2-1. So they're definitely going to play again, and it's probably going to be a different outcome. I think the Bills are going to win that one. They're probably going to split. So we'll see what happens with that moving forward. Ravens beat the Patriots 37-26. Lamar Jackson threw for 218 yards, 4 TDs, and a pick. He also ran for 107 yards and had a rushing touchdown. Mark Andrews had 89 receiving yards and had 2 receiving touchdowns. Mac Jones had 321 passing yards, 3 interceptions. He also ran for 31 yards and scored a touchdown on the ground. Stevenson had 73 rushing yards and a TD, and Damian Harris had 41 yards rushing and a TD. Now, with this game right here, Lamar is showing you why he deserves to get paid. Paid the big bucks. Lamar is one of the best quarterbacks in the league. We all know he's the fastest quarterback in the league. He has improved his arm. He's showing you he can use his. We all know he can use his legs, but he is throwing the ball with such confidence. And these last two games, he's shown he's the first. First off, he's the first quarterback in NFL history to have back-to-back games with 100 rushing yards and 300 passing yards. So right now, Lamar is on a mission. It's proving the Ravens that they should pay him. And Lamar right now is first in the MVP race. There's, like, these first few weeks, he is first in the MVP race. So if I'm the Ravens owner, you know, swallow your pride. If he keeps playing like this, his price is only going to go up. You know, he deserves a Deshaun contract. You know, Deshaun Watson had 230 guaranteed. Kyler got paid. And then Josh got paid. It's Lamar's time to get paid. Pay that man. And I think his price, he might be between like 280 mil and 300 guaranteed. And he deserves it. You know what I'm saying? Guy won the MVP, took it to the playoffs. And I haven't won anything, but it will be dumb for the Ravens to let him walk, and I highly doubt they're going to let him walk. I don't think the owner and his coach, John Harbaugh, is going to let Lamar walk away without paying him. So we'll see what happens, you know, if Lamar can keep up his level of play and is at his MVP level, and if the Ravens happen to finally pay him. Now, we have the Eagles and the Commanders. Eagles beat the Commanders 24-8. Jalen Hurts threw for 340 yards and 3 TDs. Devontae Smith had 169 yards and a TD. A.J. Brown had 85 receiving yards and a TD. Carson Wentz had 211 passing yards. Gibson ran for 38 yards and a TD. McLaurin had 102 receiving yards. Now, let me tell you here. The Eagles are flying on all cylinders. And what I mean by that is that their offense, I mean, their rushing game wasn't that great on Sunday, but Jalen Hurts is throwing the ball with good accuracy, hitting receivers. He has weapons. His weapons are crazy. Like I say, A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, Goddard, you got Miles Sanders at the backfield. Like, Jalen Hurts is playing with all-time confidence. That defense is pretty solid. As you see, they sacked Carson Wentz 9 times. The Washington O-line is horrible. They had no answer for the Eagles D lineman. Jalen Hurts, like I said, he's playing well, and him and Lamar is 1-2 in the MVP race right now. And with Josh Allen losing Sunday, he drops to third. So those are the three quarterbacks in the MVP race. Lamar first, Jalen second, and Josh third right now. I'm saying if Hurts can keep up this level of play, the Eagles are going to be a tough team to beat, you know, come playoff time if they keep playing at a high level on both sides of the ball, offense and defense. So we'll see what they do next week and if they can keep the ball rolling. A game that surprised me, the Jaguars have surprised me for 2 weeks in a row. Last week they had a shutout against the Colts 24-0. This week they beat the Chargers 38-10. Trevor Lawrence threw for 262 yards, 3 TDs. Robinson ran for 100 yards and a TD. Zay Jones, 85 receiving yards, a TD. Christian Kirk, 72 yards receiving and a TD. Justin Herbert threw for 297 yards, a TD and a pick. And Joshua Palmer had 99 yards. Now, I didn't think the Jaguars were going to blow out the Chargers like this. Like, Trevor Lawrence and that offense, they can put up points, and they're showing that they can compete. Like, the Jaguars are trying to make a statement to the NFL that they're on the rise. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, you know, Trevor Lawrence, you know, he has weapons. Jones, Kirk, Marvin Jones Jr., Robinson at the backfield can run. Like, the Jaguars have been playing well. Their defense is has been playing pretty well the last 2 weeks. And the Chargers, I'm disappointed. You know, the Chargers have all this talent. I understand Keenan Allen not playing. They definitely need Keenan Allen out there. But even without Keenan Allen, you still have Mike Williams and Gerald Everett, Eckler, Palmer. And, you know, their defense is pretty tough. And the Jaguars just ran them out the building. So, and also Herbert is also hurt. But still don't make no excuse why he don't show up and come out to play. So, like I said, the Jaguars, they have my eye. I'm going to keep my eye on them. They play the Eagles next week, and that's going to be a pretty interesting game to see. If the Jaguars can somehow pull out and beat the Eagles, people saying arguably the best team in the NFC, not one of the best teams in the NFC, then the Jaguars might be saying something, as the Jaguars are currently first place in the AFC South, which I didn't think they would have a chance to win a division. I thought the Colts were going to win a division, but Jaguars keep playing the way they're playing. They will definitely win the AFC South. Now, to the showdown of the two elite quarterbacks, we have the Green Bay Packers and the Bucks. Packers beat the Bucks 14-12. Rodgers threw for 255 yards, 2 TDs and a pick. Dubs had 73 receiving yards and a touchdown. And Alan Lazard had 45 receiving yards and a touchdown. Brady threw for 272 71 yards and a TD. Russell Gage had 87 yards receiving and a TD. Now, this game, I didn't expect the Bucs to do much because, one, Brady don't have any of his weapons. Mike Evans suspended. Guy went out with injury. Julio Jones out with injury. So Brady is throwing to Russell Gage and Scotty Miller and Perriman and I guess Fournette at the backfield. So I'm thinking Packers going to come in here. They're going to pretty much, you know, dominate this game. And the Packers did start off strong. First two drives they scored, and it was 14-3. And then they were on their way to scoring again with an Aaron Jones fumble. And then they couldn't really score the rest of the game. The Bucs defense were basically shutting down Aaron Rodgers' offense. And they ended up getting a pick, which changed the game. And Brady came down. They scored. And scored a touchdown. Needed 2 points to convert, and which they didn't get. But it was a good game. I'll say it was a good showdown between two elite quarterbacks. Might be the last time we see these two play each other. But, the Bucs, they're going to be fine. So, like I said, you shouldn't panic. They didn't have their weapons. Their defense did their job. They should, Mike Evans should come back next week. And hopefully Godwin and Julio Jones come back to help out Brady as they play the Chiefs next week, which is going to be a good game. Packers are now 2-1, and they're second in their division in the NFC North. So we'll see what the Packers do moving forward. Now, the Sunday night game, Broncos and the Niners. Broncos won 11-10. Russell Wilson threw for 184 yards. Melvin Gordon had 26 rushing yards and a TD. Sutton had 97 receiving yards. Garoppolo had 211 passing yards, a TD, and a pick. Jeff Wilson, 75 rushing yards. Debo Samuel, 73 receiving yards. Ayuk, 39 receiving yards and a TD. Honestly, this game was it was painful to watch. And the Niners, they were up early. And they're basically pretty much dominating the game. The defense was shutting down the Broncos' offense for the most part. And, Russell was playing horrible, as he has been playing horrible to start the year. And, but the Broncos, they kept sticking around. And Jimmy Garoppolo, on his 2-yard line, steps out of the end zone and give the Broncos 2 points. Like, you have to know where you are on the field and how close you are to the end zone. And so it becomes 7-5. And the Broncos, I don't think they scored. And then Niners kick a field goal, 10-5. And then Jimmy being Jimmy, he's going to give a turnover. Tries to throw the ball to Debo Samuel in double coverage. And it gets picked off, which led to the Broncos scoring, Melvin Gordon scoring, which was the only touchdown. Take an 11-10 lead. And then the Niners try to come back. Down, they have another chance, and Jeff Wilson fumbles, and that's the ball game. The Niners had the chance to win the game. If they just took care of the ball and just kept playing good defense as they was the whole game, they would have won this game because the Broncos' offense was struggling and doesn't look good. But their defense kept them in the game because the Niners' offense wasn't really doing much, to be honest. So this game was just a low-scoring, hard-fought game in which the Niners made more mistakes and the Broncos just happened to capitalize off their mistakes and pull out another hard-fought game. But all I'm saying is Russell Wilson has to step it up. He has not been looking the greatest. His accuracy is off. Not hitting some of his receivers. And I feel like he also needs to run more. Run a little bit more, not too much, but, sometimes when nobody's open, nothing's there, just take off and run and don't try to force it. And Jimmy also has to play better, too, because he didn't really play all that well either. But we'll see how these two teams go moving forward. Now, to top off week three, we have, you guys know, my Dallas Cowboys. As we play the New York Giants, we beat the Giants 23-16. Cooper Rush threw for 215 yards and a TD. Tony Pollard, Ran for 103 rushing yards. Ran for 103 yards. CeeDee Lamb had 87 receiving yards and TD. Daniel Jones threw for 196 yards and a pick. Barkley had 81 rushing yards and TD. Shepard had 49 receiving yards. Now, going to this game, I had confidence in us that we're going to win this game. Our defense is going to keep us in the game. Question is, how is our offense going to do? We started off our first two drives, getting to the red zone and couldn't put up any points. We're getting penalties and stuff, as we usually do, which always kills our drive. And we ended up scoring six, and the Giants ended up being 6-3 at halftime. So it was a low score, which I knew was going to be tight ball game because the Giants always plays us tough. So 6-3, Giants come down, look at another field goal. We end up punting. And then what changed the game was Saquon breaking off for that 36-yard touchdown. And now I'm looking at it like, oh, boy, here we go. We just always got to make it difficult. Always, always. And then we come back and we score a touchdown. So we end up tying the game. And then we end up getting a stop. And we end up scoring again with CeeDee Lamb with the one-hand catch, which he made up for because he dropped a deep ball earlier, which would have been a touchdown. CeeDee Lamb should have scored twice, but he made up for it. It was 20-13. And then the Giants kick a field goal. And we get the ball back. And it was 3rd and 1. And decided to pass the ball when he should have just ran the ball, killed clock. No, before, I'm mistaken. It was 20-13. We get the ball, and we passed the ball on 3rd and 1. We should have just ran the ball, killed clock. Maybe if we do score, go up 27-13. But end up throwing the ball, don't get it. So they take a field goal and go up 23-13, and Giants get a field goal. We're going to stop and get a field goal. And then I think we had punt the ball or something. Or we get a fourth down and stop. And Daniel Jones throws a pick to Trayvon Diggs to end the game. But honestly, if you look at our Cowboys defense, we were getting to Daniel Jones all night. DeMarcus Lawrence had 3 sacks. I think Armstrong had a sack. We sacked Daniel Jones about 5-6 times. Had a lot of pressures. Michael Parsons didn't get a sack, but he had a lot of QB pressures. And Giants O-line is bad. Evan Neal was getting beat all day. Daniel Jones was running for his life, but he was killing us with his legs. As I was saying, he's gonna run. Got to put up a spy on Daniel Jones. Saquon Barkley had a solid game, but I expected us to win this game. So we're now 2-1 and Sterling Shepard, unfortunately, tore his ACL, and he's going to be pretty much out for the year as he's hurt each and every year. Hope he has a speedy recovery and definitely bounce back next season. But with that being said, we are currently now 2-1. Giants are now 2-1. Eagles are 3-0. Washington are 1-2. So we play the Commanders next week at home. Dak is not playing next week. He's looking to return in week 5 when we play the Rams. I think we should be fine with Cooper Rush going into Washington, playing Washington, because Washington didn't look that great. So we need to take them on that and just handle business. Go to 3-1. When Dak comes back, week 5, hopefully Gallup plays this week. Schultz, we'll see if he's playing with his knee injury. And hopefully J-Ron Curse play this week. But I feel like we should definitely beat Washington. Our defensive line should be able to get to Carson Wentz because the Eagles just had a field day. Eagles D-line had a field day against their O-linemen, so we should be able to create pressure. Micah should be able to get 2 sacks, maybe D-Law, D-Armstrong get a sack, and we should be our secondary. McLaurin and Diggs, I think Diggs is going to hold his own against McLaurin. Should be able to contain him, maybe even get a interception. And then our offense just got to just keep doing what they're doing. Just execute, run the football, because we ran the ball well against the Giants. That we had like almost 200 rushing yards total. When we run the ball like that, we definitely are hard to beat. Sets up the play action, the passing game, and we can hit our receivers and our linemen. Our lineman was blocking really well week two. A couple rushed and wasn't really pressured and didn't get sacked. So we got to hold, keep that up. But I expect us, like I said, to beat Washington next week on Sunday. And look forward to Dak coming back week five against the Rams. So, yeah, that's that. And as I mentioned before, with the MVP race, Lamar Jackson is first, Jalen Hurts is second, and Josh Allen is third. If you think differently, then let me know who you think is in the MVP race right now and who you think is going to win MVP this season. That's pretty much the recap of week three. Now, week four starts tomorrow night. We have the Miami Dolphins and the Bengals. And the Bengals just got their first win against the Jets. I expected them to beat the Jets and get their first win. So Joe Burrow looked pretty. It looked somewhat back to normal. Jamar Chase didn't really do much. He had 29 yards and a TD, but Joe Burrow had a good game. And they're playing a hot Miami squad who was undefeated. And like I said, it's going to be a tough game. You know, electrifying to see Tua versus Burrow. Then you have Chase Higgins and Boyd on one side. And you have Waddle and Tyreek Hill on the other side. So it's going to be good to see. My prediction, I think Miami's going to win this game. I think Miami should walk out being 4-0. Not saying the Bengals can't win, but I just feel like Miami's just riding a hot streak right now. And they just beat, you know, the best team, the Super Bowl favorites, the Bills, this past Sunday. So it's going to be an interesting matchup to see offense, defense, electrifying, to see who gets stops and who's going to score and who's going to do what. So we're going to stay tuned for that. Watch that game tomorrow and the rest of the games on Sunday and Monday to see what happens. And we will be back next week to recap it, recap week four. We'll be back next week to recap week four and talk about everything that happened and stuff that's going on, injury updates and stuff like that. So, yeah, this pretty much wraps up this episode. I appreciate the time for tuning in. Appreciate all the support, you know. Appreciate all the support, people who, you know, watch and give me feedback and stuff like that. And I appreciate all that, you know. Want this to spread out. So tell a friend and tell a friend. In fact, if they like the podcast, they should tune into mine and, you know, give feedback and thought and try to get out there. Trying to get out there and have a platform, I guess, or, you know, where people come in and just watch, well, you know, what I do. Not watch, but hear what I'm saying and stuff like that. So, yeah, until next time, this wraps up the podcast, this episode. Stay tuned for next week as another episode will be out. This is your host, Tyler Brown, and I am out.